Amen. Amen. It sure is good to see each of you this morning, and kind of just wanted to open up a little bit different this morning. We just start off with prayer and just focus on the severity and the seriousness of this service and what it represents. Just been thinking a lot about life and death and eternity. Been thinking a lot about our lost people and the importance of it. And I know it's easy to have a lot of stuff on our minds and have our thoughts and different things, what we're going to do, what we need to do. But my prayer this morning is if you're lost, that you'll listen, that you'll pay attention. And my prayer too is if you're saved, don't think this message isn't for you. It is. If you're saved this morning, I need your prayers. The lost people need your prayers. And I just want our minds, I'll try not to be long, but I want us to be focused on what this is talking about. This is serious. It's serious business. This is life and death that we're talking about. It's that serious. You say, well, I've heard that before. It's that serious. There's no laughing matter in eternity. When you look back and you think about these people we're going to be talking about this morning, they're real people, and they face some real consequences. But just pray with me this morning. Let's get our minds focused. Father, I just thank you so much, God, for this opportunity. God, I thank you for the time, the blessing to be here, God. I know I'm nobody, and I'm not worthy to even be here, God, but just thankful that I am. Just thinking about where I could have been and how life could be different in so many different ways. But God, I just thank you for allowing me to be here this morning. And God, I know that you knew who all would be here, and we're praying for them, God. God, I pray for their minds, that their minds would be free from things that are going on out in the world or what have you, what you're thinking about maybe doing after the service. But God, just I pray that you capture their minds. God, I pray that you capture their hearts, our hearts, God, that we would focus solely on what you would have for us here today, God. This is the most important thing. When you think about what you've already blessed us with and what is to come and what eternity looks like, God, that's forever. We're in the vapor side of things right now, God, the short part. God, when you think about eternity, how long that is, that's forever and ever and ever. And God, I just pray for those that are here today that are lost. God, I pray that you convict them, Lord, like you never have before. God, I can't do anything. We as people can't do anything, God, but just share the word that you've given to us, God. It's the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that changes people's lives, that draws men to you, God. And I just pray for that this morning, that there be nothing hindering, that nothing would be a stumbling block, nothing would be more important, God, than the word of God, and that it just be preached the way you'd have it to be, God. I just pray that you use me, Lord. I'm just a vessel. I'm just your vessel, God. And I just pray that your will be done here this morning, that you lead us and you guide us in your word, God. Convict hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's be turning to Luke chapter number 16. Luke chapter number 16. You've probably heard messages preached from this scripture before. I've preached from this scripture before probably several times, and Luke chapter number 16, and go down to about verse number 19. We'll start there. You know, I think sometimes people kind of, I've heard it said like this, when people talking about preachers and talking about churches maybe or things like that, talking about the gospel or what kind of preacher a person is, and I do humbly, I consider myself a gospel preacher. I think that's what this is all about. I think if you're preaching anything else, you're kind of getting out of bounds a little bit, because everything hinges on the gospel. Everything that we have as a church, as a Christian, everything hinges on the gospel and what Jesus Christ did for us. It's that important. You know, I know there's times in life that it's important to talk about things like marriage and counseling there, and it's good to talk about faith and prayer, those things, it's all important. But this message this morning is specifically laid on my heart in such a way that I know that God wanted to do that today. You know, there's times that I look at it and I pray over it. I prayed over it this morning and this week. I said, Lord, you know who's going to be here? Who needs to hear this and what it's for and what it's about? And I just trust that He do the rest, because I can't do it. If I could save people, I'd save the entire world, but I can't do it. If I could heal people, I heal the entire world, but I can't do it. That's not within my bounds. And I know that, and I understand that, but the Lord has called me to preach it. And that's what I want to do this morning. That's what's on my heart. I think about all the people. You know, I know that we have several young people asking questions that are getting to that age. And I'm telling you, it's easy to kind of draw focus to that. But I also know after pastoring and preaching for some years, it's not always just the young people. There could be older people here this morning that's lost. This message is for everybody. If you're saved, you just be praying. You be praying, and if you don't know if you're saved or not, I pray that you get that thing right today. I'd hate to see anybody leave not knowing if they have eternal life or not, because you can know that. And the Bible plainly teaches us that. But I see this account here, and this is the only gospel. I love looking at the gospels, but this is the only gospel here in Luke that actually talks about this account. And a lot of times you see parables that are given in the Bible, and if we're not careful, we'll think, well, that's just a story with a meaning, a story that's going to have a good meaning or a bad meaning or something like that. But what you find in this account is it actually starts naming people. Somebody is named in this account. This certain person is actually named. And I think that gives a lot of credit that this is an actual situation, and this is a situation for every single person that's been born. That means you, and that means me. This morning you're going to hear about Lazarus. That's a certain person and what he faced. You're going to hear about the rich man, a rich man, and what he faced. I give maybe my thoughts on why his name is not given here, but why Lazarus is. But I want you to see about this morning. This is the simple topic of life, death, and eternity. Life, death, and eternity. That affects everybody that's here. Thank God if you're here this morning, you have a present life, a current life. You have something hopefully to be thankful for. And I was thinking about my life this morning. I have so much to praise God for and be thankful for, to the point that if He never did anything else for me, He's already done too much. Amen. He's already been that good to me. I don't deserve it. If we be honest with ourselves this morning, we're not deserving of His goodness, but yet He still gives it to us anyway. That gives credit to how He loves us. And you're going to see the parallels of these two people this morning. You see how life is for these people at the start. You look at verses 19, 20, and 21. You see the way life is today, and this is not a parable. I want you to see that this morning. Verse 19. There was a certain rich man, certain. So he gives it there that it's a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. You see, two completely different type of people here and how they lived. You have one here that you have this rich man. He fared sumptuously every day. That means expensively, splendidly, with great magnificence. I think a lot of times today, when we see people in that kind of state, we think that we would just refer to that automatically as just being blessed. And I think in our minds we refer to or think that if somebody's blessed, is they must be doing something right or they wouldn't be blessed. Well, what was Lazarus doing wrong that he wasn't blessed in that way? We measure success, I want you to know this, in such a different way than what God measures success. We measure things a lot of times with our eyes and maybe physical, material things that we think we have, but you see two completely different lifestyles this morning that's laid out before us. You think about what this temporal time would be, even if you lived to be 100 years old. That's not old when you look at eternity. That's not old when you look at creation. You think creation's maybe around 6,000 years. What's 100 years in 6,000 years? And then you try to slate that beside what eternity looks like. But you see these two people's lives. You look at your life today. Are you thankful for your life? Are you thankful for what you have? I want to stop there a minute. You know, It's easy in this day and time to look at what everybody else has and maybe compare yourself to others. You have social media. Brandy said that this week and maybe said it a few times. She said, you know, our minds, we as people are probably not equipped to take on as much information as what's being thrown at us today. This information age, you get all kinds of information, and then you have to decipher out what's real, what's right, what's wrong, what's fake, all those kind of things, and your mind's kind of swirling on that kind of stuff a great deal of the time. But you see here, this brings us back down to reality. You have two different people. You have one that really wants for nothing. He's lacking in nothing, has everything that he wants, has everything that he needs. And then in this mind, the way that it's written, the way you would look at it, you think, well, he's got it all made. He's going to live this grand life, and then when he passes on, he's going to have eternity in heaven to have anything and everything else he wants. What could be better than that? But you're going to find that's not the case. You know, also I see the flip side of this. I see Lazarus, you know, he had a lot of hardship in his life. A lot of bad things in his life. He was content. He said, if I could just eat from what falls off this man's table, I'm fine. Well, that's a different way of thinking, isn't it? You know, you say, well, why didn't he get out in this? Why didn't he get out in this? Why? There's different situations in people's lives, and people can't always control the lot that they're given in life. Did you know that? If you could control everything in your life, would you change things? Would there be things you would change? Sometimes there's things that you and I can't change that we don't have control over, but if you're the child of God, he has a way, we talked about this in Sunday school, he has a way of maneuvering you to put you in the place that he wants you to be. And I want you to know this morning, he always wants you to be dependent on him and not other things. He wants you to be focused on him, not material things and things like that. And if those things are a problem, he has a way of removing those things so he can get your full attention back. But you see the situation here, this is their life. This is the life that these two men had. One had all the provision that he wanted and needed. The other one relied on the other provision from others. And you see here that even here, the dogs had mercy on him, just licking his sores. They were being affectionate to him. The animals were being affectionate to him, maybe when other people were not. I see that a lot today. I see that, I say that, and saying a lot of times people lack compassion. Maybe think, well, can't they do it better than that? Sometimes they can't. Sometimes they can. But you're going to see a difference in how the tables turn in this. You can't always judge a book by its cover. We have a tendency as people to look at people on the outside and just kind of see how they're faring on the outside, but no concept of how they're really faring on the inside. See, that's where God comes in. That's what he looks at. He looks at the intent of the heart. He looks on the inside. And again, you think about your life today. You think about all the good things that you've been blessed with in your life, that God has given you, that you can say, God gave this to me. God has blessed me with this. He's been good to you. Think about all the good things, and maybe even think about some of the bad things that you got going on in your life, and you're trying to balance these things out. But what if this is the best that it ever got? What if this is the most that you had to have hope in, that you have hope in, is what you see here today? What if this was it? What if you think, well, you know, this is, I'm going to try to build myself up. I'm going to try to put this back, this money back, and maybe grow this wealth, and this is going to be my life, but that's going to be it. That makes me sad. I'm going to be honest with you. That saddens me. That kind of breaks my heart because, you know, that kind of puts all the pressure on me and kind of like that, just like, well, I don't know. There's a lot of these variables that I can't control. Is that really going to make me happy? Is that really going to be fulfilling just thinking that I have whatever time that I have to live on this earth and that's it? See, that's the life side of things. That's life. That's how this has started out. This parable starts. This account starts in God's Word. He gives the account. And these accounts are people that you see all over the place. These are true accounts. You'll fall probably in either one of these situations, but probably more to the better side. Probably, I don't know that we're just desiring the crumbs from somebody's table. We're blessed. Amen. Amen. We're blessed. But you know, I would hate for anything to be a stumbling block. But you see, number one, life through these first three verses here. But if you start in verse 22, there's death. Nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody wants to talk about death. Nobody wants to think about that. You know, you can say that kind of gets depressing and things like that. But you know, the reality of it is, it's going to happen. If the Lord doesn't return, we're going to die. Every one of us. See, the good thing about the Word of God is it tells you the truth. I say the good and the bad, but it tells you the truth. It just tells you like it is. It lays it out there to you. You know, if you want to make informed decisions, you want the right information, and that's what the Bible gives to you. You see this span of life, we don't know how long that is, but death is certain. It's going to come to every single one of us, and the Bible even talks about that. Then after death comes the judgment. It makes you, should make you think about that. Lost person, you should think about that. It's a reality. I can't tell you how long you have on this earth. Can't tell you how long of a life that you're going to have. It could be short. But if you're here, you have an opportunity. And I want you to really focus on that. In verse number 22, this is the last day of these two people's lives. I don't know how old they were. But this is the account of their life. And it said, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. You see, it just kind of stops right there. I want to stop there just for a minute. That's the finality of what takes place there. You can't stop that from happening. You might live a long, full life, but you can't stop that from happening. You know, I think about it like this a lot too. You think about when somebody falls sick and maybe even gets older, the first thought is to pray for healing. God, heal this person. But nobody is going to live forever. None of us. Something is going to take us out. It could be something in the instant that we never saw coming. It could be maybe a terminal illness that has been a while in the making or what have you, but something is going to take us out. There's a finality to that. And I'm going to stop right here. I know if you're young, you know what you're thinking? The young person today is saying this right here. It's like, yeah, preacher, but see, that's years down the road. That's years down the road for me. I've got time. I've got time to think this thing out and figure this thing out. And I know you're talking to the older people, but see, I've got time. You don't know how much time you've got. I'll tell you this. When I first started working at the university, this is an analogy I'll give. When I first started working at the university, I graduated in May of 94, started working at the university in August of 94. My career path went here and there, but you know what happened at the beginning of this year? I looked back, Brother Tim, and I said, you know what? Had I never left the university, I'd have been retired. I could have retired in February. But you know, on the front end, 1994, that day was never coming. I was like, there ain't no way. I'll never get to retirement. Ain't no, yeah, that day come. You know, that's reality. And you know, that's the thing I want you to think about this morning. You don't know how much time you have. Something could happen to you. It's like that. But see, you have time today. So that's what's so miraculous about today. See, in your mind, you might think, well, I've got time. You don't know that. You don't know that. When that time comes and you're on your deathbed, you don't know even if you're going to have time to even think about it then. Time passes so quickly. The older I get, the more I realize that. The more I think back to when I was younger. And when I was younger, a lot of the things I say, if I knew then what I know now, if I understood then what I know now, I would do things differently. But see, you're living in this moment. You have that time now. If you're here, thank God that you're here. He put you here for a reason. You've got time to think this thing over for a minute. That's why it's so important to pay attention and be thinking about this. But you see the two different places in death and how this happened for these two different people. This fella who didn't have much in life, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Now that's what you want right there. See, it's even better now. We don't go to Abraham's bosom now when we die. We go straight to heaven to be with Jesus Christ. See, this is a different time. Abraham's bosom, what is that? What is that, heaven? No, it's not. You got to think back in this time. This is before Jesus went to the cross. When he led captivity away captive and he took them to heaven, this is back when people went to a place called paradise. Center of the earth, paradise. You see, that's what happened there. That's what happened. The angels lovingly carried Lazarus into Abraham's bosom and placed him there. You see, his death here on this earth didn't leave a big mark. What would they have done with Lazarus? They had took his body. They took it to a place called Sheol. They just take it to a place where they had this fiery pit and they just threw him in. His body just be burned up. Now the rich man, that side there, they'd take his body and you talk about a show, buddy. They'd put on a show. All the purple, all the arraignment that he had, looking like a king. There's no telling how they sent him off. And a lot of people probably said, yeah, he's a good one. I know where he's at today. That's what they might have thought. And they'd say, oh, Lazarus, who's that? Who gets the name here? Who has the name? Who has the name? You say, why is Lazarus? I'll just go ahead and say this here. Why? Then why, preacher? Why do you think? When you look at this here, you'll find in different places. I know Revelation 21:27, it talks about the Lamb's Book of Life. If you've been saved, you have a name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Rich men don't have that. You know, there's not a Lamb's Book of Life in hell. Your name don't matter there. You're a lost soul. A lost soul. That's what's in hell. The sad thing about hell is this. It wasn't even made for lost souls. It was made for the devil. But that's where lost souls go. That's why they're lost. The name doesn't matter there. All the names that people try to build for themselves here on this earth, it don't matter down there. You think they care what your name is? And all the anguish and all that they're going on, do you really think they care what your name is? They don't. Let me tell you, there's a new name written down in heaven. When you get saved, they care about it over there because they keep a record of it. That's important there. Do you have a new name? Do you have a new name? But you see here, the angels carried Abraham, carried Lazarus into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Look at verse number 23. I want you to think about this morning. If you've reached the age of accountability and you know that you're lost, this would be your reality. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you the truth. This would be your reality. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Verse number 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. You know what some people say? I think they try to lie to themselves, maybe. Maybe they know somebody that passed away and they have no peace that that person was saved. Maybe they, for whatever reason in their mind, they try to distort things and think, you know what? Hell is not as bad as what you might think it is. Hell maybe is just separation from God. Let's just say that's what it is. It's just, that's really hell, that it's just separation from being in the presence of God. That's not what the Word of God says it is. Torment. You know what torment is? You see that word here mentioned, torments. That means extreme pain. That's hurting. Extreme. Not just, oh, I mashed my finger. Extreme pain. In what? In where? It says in flames. Fire. I remember as a young person, before I was saved, I remember this. And maybe the Lord even used part of this and reaching out to my heart. I remember when I was young, I had a classmate who burned up in a house fire. And you know how bad that scared me? Every time I drive by that old place, that's exactly what I think about. This person died burning up. But then there was some peace after that. in death, but get this, in hell, you never really completely burn up. You're tormented in these flames. It never ends. It never stops. It continues on. Say, preacher, you're making me depressed. No, I'm telling you the way out of this. Just keep listening. Pay attention and keep listening to this. This isn't how the Word of God leaves this. He said he was tormented in these flame, in this flame, and he was burned up. He wanted help. He wanted out. There was no way out for him. Once a person gets to this position, once they get to this state, that is exactly how it stays. And that's one of the most remarkable things about this account here is that we are allowed to see, the rich man was allowed to see over into Abraham's bosom long enough to see how it was on the other side. You see, you get to see both sides of the story here. If you're thinking about it in the way of a scale, this gives you a physical scale to look at. This is what it's like in hell, but this is what it's like in paradise. What heaven looks like is yet to be seen. Let me tell you, paradise is not heaven. Heaven is heaven. And that's where you and I get to go that have accepted Him. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. He just wanted just a drop of water. But you see, that is what it was in death. Now you look at these next verses. Number three, you look at eternity. This is what these people have to look forward to. I'll tell you this. Those two people are still right where they're at today. Think about that. Now, Lazarus, he was taken out of paradise. He's in heaven when Jesus led again. Captivity away, captive. But I want you to know the rich man is still right there today. If he could hear this message, I promise you, he would be the loudest amen in the crowd. I promise you that. Look at what he says here. Look at what he says here. But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivedst thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." Now you think about how good you got it right now. Now if you can really, literally put yourself in the placement of these people, maybe you can look at your life and say, you know what, I'm blessed to be able to hear preaching, to be able to be around God's Word, that I can hear the truth, that maybe I can know this, that I can make an educated decision about this choice. See, once it's there, a person gets to that state, all you can do is reminisce on the past and look back. That's all you can do. You can't change it. That's the same for you and I today. There's things that's set before us we can't change. But you can make a good decision today that impacts the rest of your life forever, even eternity. But he's causing him to remember. He's bringing back his life. Remember thy lifetime. Think about all the times that you heard the gospel preached. Think about all the blessings that God has given to you. And that's what he was saying here. Remember, rich man, that all this time in your life, that these good things were happening, but yet you could not find time to put your faith in me. You couldn't find time to give your heart to God. But look at Lazarus. He did something right. He had a hard life. But somewhere along the way, he accepted God. He accepted the gospel. You know, we fight, kick, and scratch to try to make things, ends meet, and things work out on this side of life. I'm telling you, we need to be more involved and more concerned and concentrating on what's on the other side right now. That's the big part of life. That's the big part. But he's tormented. And he said, and beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot... Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. They're saying, we can't cross back over now. See, that's the reality of where we're at. We can't go back and fix this. I promise you, church, I promise you, lost person, I promise you, every single person that has passed away and gone to hell would like one more chance. Just one more chance. Their mind's already made up. They wouldn't come back over here and say, you know, I would sit through three or four or five verses of Amazing Grace before I'd go up. They'd say, I would already be up there if I could go right now. You don't have to wait for the music starts. The Lord's touching your heart. That's when you go. It's not a formality that you have to do this. When the Lord lays it on your heart, move. Don't wait. The only thing I'd do about the day I got saved is I'd have done it sooner. I wouldn't have waited. But the Lord made it plain to me. He made it so plain. And He's laid it out plainly here for us to see. He's saying that we can't go back. You can't switch these things out. You can't pass and go in between. He's talking about that there's a complete separation in eternity. And once it is done, it is done. I think about this. Think about how sad it would be, how hard it would be to not be able to be with your loved ones. That's probably number one, Jesus Christ. But around number two, I'd say the biggest hope and promise that I have is that I get to see my family again. Yeah, that's an amazing promise there. You think about how big that is. You know, you think about the good times, the bad times you have over here, and you try to have the good times, but think about this. If you're saved, you have eternity to have good times with your family. Amen. Amen. I like that. The one thing that gets on my mind when I'm having a good time is I don't want it to end. Praise God. It don't have to end, and it's not going to end over there. Likewise, when I'm sitting in the dentist chair, wherever it may be, and that, I'm dreading that, and that's hurting, I just want it to be over. But eternity's never over. In heaven or in hell, it is never over. That's why it's called eternity. It never stops. It just keeps going. I'd hate to think I'd never see my mom and dad again, or my family again, my loved ones again, my church family again. I would hate to think that I would not be able to see them again. That's why it's important to me to share the gospel with you today. I want to see y'all again. Turns out I want to spend the rest of my life in eternity with you. That's pretty good, ain't it? I like you that much. Amen. And he goes on down to say here, verse number 27, it comes down through 31. Now I want you to think about this. One of the saddest things I can think of physically, again, is not being able to see my family and friends and not be together. That's one of the things I love most about Sunday is when mom and dad come over, Josh and Sarah come over, we all get together. I look forward to that like you would absolutely not to believe. I do. I get excited about that, being together. But I want you to see how this rich man views his family now. How much he loves his family. Verse number 27 says, "Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. If you will not send him to me, please remove Lazarus and please take him to my father's house. Please let him go to where my family's at. Please let him go. For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment." He said, I love them so much, I don't ever want to see them again. I want somebody to get to them before eternity gets to them. Send somebody. Send Lazarus. Send Lazarus. I know he could reach them. I know they would listen to Lazarus. You know, I think about it a lot. A person that hears the gospel and rejects the gospel, what truly are they waiting for? What truly is it going to take? You know, what he was saying here is, I know if you'd send this certain person, they'd listen to this certain person. They would listen to this one, and they would take this one serious. You know, Jesus even has a response to that. Look what he says. He said, I know if you'd send Lazarus, they'd listen. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. You know what Jesus said? Listen to your preacher. Listen to your gospel preacher. Listen to him. Listen to what he has to say about life, about death, and about eternity. Listen to him. That's who I sent to tell you. I've already given you my word. You can read the word, but I've also sent you a pastor. I've also sent you a preacher. Listen to them. Let your brothers listen to them. That's what he said. That's Jesus' response. You think about the severity and importance of preaching. It's a very serious thing. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, But if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. If one that has been resurrected from the dead, they'll listen to him. Would you listen to somebody that was resurrected from the dead if they told you about life, death, and eternity? Would you listen to them, church? Would you listen to him? See, God sent him too. Jesus Christ. That conviction, that beating that you feel in your heart, it ain't me. I can't do that. I don't have that authority. But the Holy Spirit does. That's exactly what he's talking about here. When you feel that conviction, that's Jesus Christ saying, come unto me. Come on. That's him. You're not denying the preacher. You're not denying the church. If you're not listening to Jesus Christ, you are personally denying him. See, that's the severity of what's going on in this place here. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they will hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though be one rose from the dead. See, today's your opportunity. Been thinking a lot about Easter and preparing for that and thinking about just the severity of this today and how it all leads up. The gospel is this. I bet you could probably recount the gospel to me. You've probably heard it several times now. It's that important. That's the power of life, passing away from death. That's the power of it. What is the gospel? Why did it have to be that way? That's just how God ordained it to be. We can't be perfect. God sent the law to show what the law looked like, and that said, this is my expectation. This is what you have to do to be righteous and to be perfect. This is what you have to do. Moses took the law down. He gave it to the people. The frustration that he had, he broke it the first time, had it delivered a second time. He passed it out and he gave it out. And guess what we found out? That there's none righteous, no, not one. Not one person could fulfill the law or uphold it. Not one. God said, I love you so much as a people that I'm not going to destroy you and wipe you out. You think about the flood, how it repented him that he had made man at that time. And he said, you know what? I'm going to make a way for you. I'm going to make a way that you can be saved, that you can have salvation outside of the law. So what's that? That's the gospel. That's when God said, you know, I'm going to send myself down to this earth in the form of a son, the Son of Man. I'm going to put myself in the same garb that they wear, the same flesh that they wear. That way when they're going through those hard times, Brother Darren, I can say, I know how you feel. Because I've been there. I know how you feel. I know how it hurts. I know how Satan can tempt you. I know how he can lie to you. I know that. But guess what? I've got power to withstand it. I'm strong enough to withstand that. Brother Shane, I'm strong enough to withstand that. And you know what I can do? You know what I can do for you? I can fulfill the law where you can't. I will put this flesh on. I will wear this flesh. I'll wear it for my lifetime. And I'll take it to the cross. I'll take it to the cross. Because you know what the cross is? It's a symbol of death. Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon the tree, is what the Word of God says. But you know what you had to have? You had to have a perfect sacrifice. None of us would work. You could search the earth over and over. None of us would work. You had to have a perfect sacrifice. Jesus said, I will go. I will go. I will carry this burden. I will take this to the cross. And I will die on the cross, the ultimate sacrifice. That all mankind can have a way of salvation. I'll do that. Isn't that good? Do you believe that this morning? I mean, that's the power of eternal life. But it even gets better. You know, Brother Jim, what he said too? He said, you know what? God has given me the power not only to lay my life down, but to take it up again. Nobody else can do that. Do you know how powerful that is? You can choose to take your life, to lay your life down to somebody else, but you can't take it back up again. One person had that power and that authority. He said, I'll die on the cross. And he said, you know what? I'll prove it. You can't go for, 3 days without water before you pass away, or or food, what have you, those kind of things there. You know what? He said, I'll stay in the grave 3 days and three nights to show that I'm dead. He was dead. Jesus died. He died for your sin. He died for my sin. He proved it because he's in the grave. He's in the tomb 3 days and three nights. This is the beautiful thing about it. They didn't roll the stone away so he could get out. He's already out. They rolled the stone away so you and me can look in and say, hey, he's not in there anymore. You see, when he chose to raise himself back up from the dead, just like the scripture said, he proved the Bible to be true. And he became victor over death, hell, and the grave. He brought himself back up. He raised himself back up. Now for him, for Jesus, that's an amazing account. That's an amazing fact. That's an amazing list of facts that we call the gospel. But then in turn, you know what else he said? He said this. He said, now, the people that I did this for, if you would only believe that and accept me, I'll give you that same authority. I'll give you that same option. You see, here's the thing about being an heir. You know, when things are kind of passed down or what have you, you have to be in the family to be a part of being an heir, to earn that inheritance. You see, God the Father sent God the Son. And then when you accept God the Son, guess what you become? You become a son of God too. And he said, what Jesus is entitled to, whosoever is entitled to the same thing. You think about that. You think about the power of the gospel and its importance. You go back and you look at these people's lives and what they experienced. You think about those in hell. They say, if only I could believe now, where could I have been? See, you have that option today. You have that choice. The ladies, if you'll come to the instruments, if you will stand with me this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we come to you this morning just so thankful, God, for another opportunity to be able to be here today.